Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Usually, and I mean that, usually when you're going to go down the road of personal finance, you're going to talk about debt and budgets and spending and saving and all that stuff. Usually when you go down that road, it doesn't feel very good. It's not very encouraging. It's not very uplifting. You just kind of feel like a schmuck the whole time. How could you be so stupid? How could you be so lazy? How could you be so immature? Oh, my goodness, I'm 45. Why am I in this deep of a hole with my finances? And so oftentimes, because there's no hope there, it's not very encouraging, you kind of stay away from it. Plus, the book's 350 pages long, and it's got and the appendix is massive. And it just is. It just seems insurmountable. Well, today on Theology Thursday, which we're going to go down a slightly different road, although Jesus talked a whole lot about money. Really, if you study what the scriptures have to say about money and possessions, it is an overwhelming subject throughout the pages of scripture, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. So today on Theology Thursday, we're spending some time with our friend Art Rayner, who's been out here at the seminary for a while as the vice president for institutional advancement. We're going to set that aside today because he's also a great author. And we're going to be talking about his brand new book, The Money Challenge. TheMoneyChallengeBook.com is the website. I put the links up on the Facebook pages today. And I told Art when we were just talking through the book, and I said, the thing that I really love about this, it was an easy read. It's like, I don't know, 120 pages or something, 135 pages, super easy read. But the thing that I experienced that I wasn't expecting was that it was a grace-filled book, that it was because of the format and the way in which Art wrote it. You're going to learn about this story about a woman named Annie. It was really this gentle, loving, grace-filled approach to something that's usually quite academic and just a two-thumbs-up effort. It's just a great, great book. For me, as a 51-year-old who's been down this road and made a lot of mistakes and still does, but for anybody that's serious about, what God's serious about in terms of your finances, and then especially in being generous, what a great blessing today to have Art Rayner here in the studio. Art, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's great to have you here. The Money Challenge, which we're going to give away 5 copies, so just hold on to your hats. As soon as I give out the phone number, we'll do that, but we're not going to start with that. So I do want to start with this. I mean, why did you write the book? You've got a background in finance and worked in the banking industry, and your dad got you started at a young age. But we were talking about this earlier, but why this book and why this particular approach? It's really, really a different and awesome way to do a concept when we're talking about our finances.
Well, to start, God designed us not to be hoarders, but conduits through which his generosity flows. I say that over and over in the book. And in general, I think we're constantly missing that mark. And so the Money Challenge was written not just to make you financially healthy or to help you pursue that goal, which is a good goal, and we do talk about that throughout the book. It could give you some practical ways to pursue financial health, but as a means to a much greater end. You mentioned that the Bible weaves stewardship and money throughout Scripture. There's over 2,000 verses on stewardship and money alone in Scripture. Jesus taught on money more than any other topic. And so what we learn is that we were designed for generosity. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's often an afterthought. It's not the priority, but it's an afterthought. Now, in my experience working with others, that tends not to be the pursuit that they're going after, and are really missing out on this great adventurous life that God has for us.
Well, that whole notion of generosity, that becomes the road less traveled, if traveled at all.
That's right.
And because people go, well, we got to get a hold of our finances because we need to have a balanced checkbook. We need to have a good budget. We need to have the savings. We need to get our spending under control.
And all of those are good things.
And those are all good things.
They're great things.
But all of a sudden, to be generous.
That's right.
Unlocks this whole side of life. Now, when you read the scriptures, God's saying, hey, don't do this and do that. Not because I'm bored and I just wanted to give you rules, but because if you follow me, I really can lead you to the land of milk and honey. I really can take you someplace that you're going to love. And he loves me so much, he wants me to go there.
That's right. And most of us are like my three-year-old. Let me tell you a story. We were sitting in church. This was just a couple of months ago. And my three-year-old and six-year-old actually decided they wanted to bring money to church to give to our church out of their own piggy bank. Now, they didn't have much, but they wanted to give to the church. I thought that was great. I thought that I was succeeding as a parent in that moment because I didn't tell them to do that. It was on their own accord there. Well, as we have buckets, not plates at our church. As the bucket passed, our kids put their money in the bucket, and as it should do, it goes to the next person. My six-year-old was good. My three-year-old, though, as the bucket passed, suddenly yelled out, "Hey, wait, how can we get our money back?" And so generosity does not always come natural to us.
Yes.
But it's what we were designed to do. Yeah. In the Money Challenge, I reference a researcher, Elizabeth Dunn. And one of the studies that she performed was with adults. She asked the adults to rate their level of happiness on a particular day, and they gave her how happy they were. They were then handed an envelope with either $5 or $20 in it. And in the envelope, they were given instructions on what to do with that money. Some were told, use this on yourself. Others were told, use this to help somebody else out. At the end of the day, they contacted those same adults, and they said, tell me again how you would rate your happiness level. Well, pretty much across the board, those who gave the money away ended up being happier than those who used the money on themselves. And what I see there is just that study pointing back to God's design for us. I mean, we serve a generous God, so it should not surprise us that we are wired for generosity ourselves.
Yeah, we just never experience it.
That's right.
If you never experience it, you don't know what you're missing. And if you don't know what you're missing, you never crave it.
That's right.
And so you don't do anything about it.
That's right.
You're just fine. I mean we think we're fine. Mm-hmm. But you're like, hey, you know, pie is good.
Mm-hmm.
But pie with ice cream. Like,
oh,
who
man.
Came up with that idea?
That's
like,
right.
Like, that little, it's amazing what impact that little a la mode can have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being generous with that experience. All of a sudden, you're going to a whole new level. Well, to unlock that, there is some work that we have to do. So we're going to talk through kind of the three-step formula that Art has in the Money Challenge: giving generously, save wisely, and live appropriately. But when we come back, I want to introduce you to Annie, who's really the star of this book and really one of the reasons that this book is so much easier and enjoyable and grace-filled to read as we talk about personal finance here on Call to Action. Call to Action Radio. Today, Theology Thursday, as it is every Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. SEBTS.edu is their website. SEBTS.edu. Throw a little /radio at the end of that, and you will land on a page that will show you everything that you can access online. Whether you're here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area is irrelevant for most of that. Whether you're a Southern Baptist is irrelevant for most of that. The only thing that is relevant is, do you love the Lord and do you want to learn more about him and get to know him more and be better equipped to not only study his word, but then to employ his word in your daily life? There's all kinds of blessings hanging out here on the tree known as Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and that's why it's always a blessing to do Theology Thursday, and we have for almost 4 years now. So it's really been a great blessing for Call to Action and for me personally. Today, talking to Art Rayner, who's actually on staff out here, a vice president for institutional advancement. But today, as an author, we're talking about his great new book, The Money Challenge, 30 Days of Discovering God's Design for You and Your Money. I mentioned this at the top of the show, Art, that this is the most grace-filled, kind of loving, kind, and easy-to-read book on personal finance I've ever encountered and read. I read it cover to cover. Just a great effort, and I think one of the things about it, and by the way, the website, moneychallengebook.com, and in the second half of the show, we're going to give away 5 copies, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But one of the things that runs throughout the book is this story about a young woman named Annie. So tell us about that. I think this is so effective.
Well, I've read many personal finance books, and I enjoy them. I enjoy those thick, bulky books.
You're one of those guys.
I'm one of those guys. But just based on my personal experience with conversations that I've had as a banker, as a pastor, and now as somebody here on staff at Southeastern, is that I'm an oddball when it comes to that. Most people have absolutely no desire to work through a book on personal finance, and so with that in mind, I had hoped to craft a book that somebody that has absolutely no desire to read a book on money would actually find themselves enjoying. And as it was about 8 chapters into the book, I became very disappointed with what I read, because I found myself reading a book that seemed to be like any other personal finance book.
Yeah.
And I had this idea in the back of my mind to craft a fictional story that's woven throughout the book. And so what I decided to do, I decided to take a risk and just scrap essentially the first half of each chapter and tell the story of Annie. Annie is a recent college graduate. She has student loan debt, credit card debt, like many out there. And she's struggling to find her way in the world of personal finances. So throughout the Money Challenge, you follow her story as she interacts with a banker named GB. And GB gives her some money challenges. Some are financially based, but believe it or not, some are not.
I noticed that financially based. There's 30 of them throughout the book.
There's 30 of them.
And the book's actually relatively short. It's 130 pages, small. If you're looking at Facebook Live, it's a small book, easy, like a gift size book, super easy to read. But yeah, there's so much more to it than just the personal finance thing, but and all of those money challenges. And I assume that was part of your goal.
Well, generosity is not just about money. Generosity is about everything that we've been given. God entrusts us with a number of different resources, our time, our talent, our treasures, and we're to be generous with all of it. Now, money is included in that, so we do obviously in the Money Challenge talk a good deal about money. But generosity is well beyond just the topic of money.
Well, you started that early on in the book. You kind of set up the 3-step formula: give generously, save wisely, and live appropriately. We're going to talk generally about all three of these, but I really want you to get the book by Art Rayner, The Money Challenge. You can get it at his website, themoneychallengebook.com. I also have the links up on Facebook. In the second half of the show, we'll give away 5 books to the first 5 callers. But when you talk about giving generously, we usually don't start there. When we talk about personal finance, that's like the end goal. But you start with generosity. Why? Why do we start there?
Because the Bible teaches that. So the Bible teaches that when we give, that giving is to be a priority. The Bible teaches that it's to be a priority, that it's to be done proportionally, which means that those who have more give more, those who have less give less. It's to be done sacrificially, and then it's also to be done joyfully. It's to be done with a joyful heart. So when writing the Money Challenge, generosity became the focal point, because the Bible makes it the focal point or the starting point. It's really the foundation upon which our financial health rests. At the end of the book, I lay out some milestones, some financial milestones. And the very first milestone is to simply start giving. Before you do anything else, start giving. Now, we're not talking about not necessarily an extreme amount of money, but start somewhere. Because that's where the Bible starts.
Well, Annie, in the story that appears inside the Money Challenge, I mean, when GB, the banker, George Bailey, is telling her, first thing you do, you start giving a little bit.
That's right.
Most of us go, shouldn't I pay off my credit cards first? Shouldn't I start saving first? But no, you start giving first, and you go over something here, to your point, called the takeoff. Months 1 to 3, give 1% of your gross income. Months 4 to 6, give 3%. Months 7 to 9, give 5%, as we're trying to approach that biblical tithe. But just start with something. Why is that so fundamental? Why should that come before I start paying down my credit cards and all the other stuff I have to mess with?
Well, once again, I go back to just what the Bible teaches, and I'm trusting that God's word is true, and that it knows, and that God knows how to handle money and how we are wired better than the rest of the world. So yes, it does seem counterintuitive. I'm not going to argue that, but the Bible teaches that giving is to be a priority. And of course, I recommend starting with the local church.
Yeah, start with your local church, and then kind of moving into part two and saving wisely. And we're going to hit a break here in just a couple minutes. But when we talk about saving, why is that so difficult? I mean, the numbers, national numbers, are horrific when it comes to saving, and even a $400 or $500 car repair is going to tank most people.
Well, the reality is for many of us, the majority of our money is already committed in the form of debt. And so the statistics that recently came out are fairly astounding. In fact, we have more consumer debt as a nation than we've ever had. We're talking about even after 2008. So even those debt levels, we've surpassed that. If you have a credit card balance, then you are likely to hold about $16,000 in credit card debt. And so the idea of setting money aside for whether it's a minor emergency or a major emergency, which I define as a 3 to 6 month amount of money set aside at a job loss level emergency, it seems daunting because our money is already committed. It's
right,
committed
right.
to credit cards. It's committed to our car loan. It's committed to our mortgage. All these other things out there.
Yeah, and it is a process where you're starting to give, because I think that starts to change your heart and it starts to unlock the promises of God. If you're
right.
not a giving person, the scripture is not going to really lean in your favor much.
That's right.
You're going to struggle there. But when it comes to saving, what about intentionality? Because it's like, hey, listen, I hardly ever miss a meal, Art. and I don't miss when I sleep. I don't miss times when I get to go on a date with my wife. There's things I'm not going to miss because I really want to do them. We need to be that intentional about saving. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. And then we'll eventually get into talking about living appropriately. I mean, what is an appropriate lifestyle anyway? We're talking to Art Rayner today on Call to Action. The Money Challenge is the name of the book. TheMoneyChallengeBook.com is the website. We'll start giving away 5 copies when we come back right after this. Call to Action Radio Theology Thursday today with our friends at Southeastern, talking about the Money Challenge, 30 days of discovering God's design for you and your money, with the author Art Rayner, who also is on staff out here at Southeastern as the Vice President for Institutional Advancement. A great book, an easy book to read. It's kind of a gift-sized book, 130 pages, and takes you through kind of these 3 major focuses of the book: is giving generously, saving wisely, and then living appropriately. We're unpacking those a little bit. And the really cool thing about the book, which I think Art makes it really easy to read, all the nuts and bolts of good personal finance are all there. As we talk about savings and we talk about investment, we talk about college, we talk about debts, houses, cars, the whole nine. So you get all the basic building blocks there. So it covers all those bases. But as you unfold this story of Annie, you can relate to her. Whether you're older like me at 51 or younger like you at 35, or other people listening that are younger than that, most of us can relate. You did a great job of having Annie deal with issues that pretty much all of us deal with. And so it's relatable. It doesn't make you feel condemned like a big idiot because you've made these mistakes, because let's face it, unfortunately, most of us do. And that's why it's such an easy book to read and really encouraging. I'm not usually encouraged when I read personal finance stuff. Usually I'm like, I'd rather go see the dentist and have some teeth pulled.
Oh, come on.
But in this case, not only because I know enough, I've learned enough over the years to know that the really solid basics of a good foundation for personal finance for now and into the future are all in the Money Challenge, but the way in which it's told is really helpful. And I said before we even started the show that it was the most grace-filled personal finance book that I've ever read, and certainly that's true. We're going to give away 5 copies now before the end of the show. So if you want to give us a call, all you need to do is call in, talk to Howard, my producer, give him your name, your address, and your email address, and you'll be all set. First 5 callers will get a copy of the Money Challenge. And if you missed that opportunity, just go to themoneychallengebook.com, the website, and get a copy for yourself. 866-348-7884 is the phone number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, you can't just send me a message on Facebook. You actually have to call. So first 5 callers get the first 5 free copies of the book, The Money Challenge, by my friend Art Rayner. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH, but you better hurry because I'm watching them all light up right now. So saving wisely, I asked about intentionality. And how do we do this? How do we actually effectively save our money? And what are we saving it for anyway?
Well, the great thing about the day and age in which we live is that we can leverage technology to accomplish a lot of these goals that, man, took a lot more effort than in previous years. So when you're starting out, when you're starting from scratch, you got to have some type of cushion. So I'm going to assume that you've already at least started giving a little bit, that you're aligning yourself with God's design for your money. So you're giving a little bit. The next thing that you need to
do. Giving there, start with your local church.
That's with your local church. The next step is to try to set aside about $1,500. Now, that would cover what we call just a minor emergency. So your washer goes out, your car gets a flat tire. Start trying to set aside just a little bit of money. Now, you can sometimes do that out of your paycheck. Often you can do a direct transfer from your checking account to your savings account.
Yeah.
You can set that up on a reoccurring basis. It can be $10 a month. It can be $20 a month. Whatever you can afford to get you to that $1,500 mark. Now, once you do that, the next goal savings wise will be to try to get set aside about 3 to 6 months of living expenses. That's really for a job loss level emergency.
Yeah, major event
where just something catastrophic happens. And you're left just wondering what are you going to do? Well, you can at least survive for 3 to 6 months until you figure that out. Once again, you can set that up on an automatic basis, on an electronic basis. And the reason why I say that is that helps you. It helps you resist the temptation not to set aside the money.
Exactly.
I love these automatic transfers. And the same thing with your retirement. With most of the time with your retirement, you can get that taken out.
And
of
again,
your,
on
your
a
time paycheck.
Frame, we're not. Most of us, this isn't going to be a 6 month deal. It's going to take us a while.
Absolutely, and that's the thing with personal finances is that it gets frustrating at times because you want the silver bullet,
right?
You want this thing just to turn around overnight.
Oh man,
most of the time that doesn't happen. Personal finances, whether for better or worse, is going to be a result of small incremental decisions over a long period of time. Once again, those small
inches.
That's right. Those small decisions can lead you down a great path or lead you down a terrible path.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be thinking 12 months as much as we should be thinking 12 years, 20 years, 30 years,
that's
even,
right.
Depending on your age.
That's
it's
absolutely
all
right.
Based on your age. But one other thing, and then we're going to move on. A word about college, because a lot of us are conservatives that listen to this show. I'm certainly a conservative. I know you're a conservative. We complain about government entitlements all the time. It's like my second language. But I think we've turned college education for our kids has become a bit of an entitlement. And we'll enslave ourselves. Like, our kids are owed a college education. How do we approach that? Because there's got to be a balance there.
Well, first, I would say take care of your own personal finances first before worrying about college.
And that's not wrong.
That's absolutely not wrong. Make sure that your personal finances are in order, that you're setting aside enough money for retirement, and then consider helping your kids out with college, because there are a number of different options for colleges. First of all, there are a number of scholarships, grants available, and because of the number of colleges, some colleges are cheaper than others. You can do community college for a couple of years before going to a state school. I mean, there's a number of different options. The college at Southeast in Wake Forest, North Carolina, is a very cost-effective option for undergraduate education.
Yeah, we're talking to Art Rayner. He is the author of The Money Challenge. By the way, we've given away the 5 books. That happened pretty fast, so no need to call in anymore, but make sure you go to the website, themoneychallengebook.com. This can't be very expensive. How much is this?
You know, it's going to depend on how you purchase it.
So if they go to your website, themoneychallengebook.com.
I think it's going to be around $12 to $13. However, if you are a church leader, you can actually purchase a box of money challenges. So it's 20 books for $100. Now, that means it's only $5
a
book.
$5 a piece. Wow.
So it's a phenomenal deal. I always recommend that if you're a church leader and this is something that you want your small groups to go through,
oh,
or church in general.
Huge blessing.
That's the best way to
get
it.
Yeah, and I saw that. That's at the website, themoneychallengebook.com. Let me get into perhaps probably the most difficult question of all, which is part 3 of this whole process. So we have part 1 is give generously. Part 2, save wisely. Part 3, live appropriately. So what is an appropriate standard of living for a Christian in America?
Well, I wish that I could give you a number. That would be the easy answer, but the reality is that's not going to happen because it's going to be different for everybody. But here's what you should do. So there's a book out there titled God and Money. It's a phenomenal book. It's written by two Harvard graduate students, and they simply asked the question, what does the Bible say about money? And they wrote a book on it.
Are they believers?
In that, I don't know.
I don't know.
I believe so.
Yeah, because I couldn't tell when I looked at it. Not really
sure. In the book, they ask they pose what they say is a better question. Historically, we have always asked, how much should we give? We always ask, how much should we give? What makes us generous? That's the wrong question. The question is, how much should we keep? So we should determine, and this is with prayer, with conversations, if you're married, with your spouse, determine at what level do you think enough is actually enough?
Right, right.
And then once you hit that mark, now you're giving throughout this, but once you get that mark, hit that mark, everything else is just you're giving it away. And I love that. It's a very challenging question for me, and so I put that in the book.
And again, that comes back to the foundational concept and why giving generously is the first part of this whole process, because it unlocks a way of life that most of us have never experienced.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
right.
All of a sudden you're blessing somebody. Like one of the money challenges in the banker GB in the book would give Annie, after she'd come visit him at the bank, he'd give her a little piece of paper and it would have two or three money challenges on it. And one of them is just, hey, just go give a little bit, anything to somebody. Just give something to anybody out there. $2, $5, take them some cookies, whatever. And we all know this, and we'd say, well, it's more generous, it's more worthwhile to give than receive, yada, 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 we've got all that. But once you actually do that, you help a family, you help an individual, you pay somebody's bill, whatever. Do it at McDonald's, just at Starbucks. Say, take an extra $10, add it to my bill, and what are they getting behind me in the line? And it's really even more fun if you do it in the line inside Starbucks, because now you got this face-to-face thing. And you tell me that doesn't feel great. You tell me generosity doesn't feel great.
And also, when you are generous to somebody and you look back, let's say 10 years down the road, and you're looking back on that moment, here's what I can guarantee you. You will not regret the money that you spent on that person or how you helped out that person. You will never regret being generous.
Yeah, you'll never regret being generous. And that's one of the main points as you read through the Money Challenge. We're talking to Art Rayner today on Call to Action Radio. It is Theology Thursday. Why is Art here on a Theology Thursday? Because he happens to work out here at Southeastern Baptist as well. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Days of discovering God's design for you and your money. Speaking of money, this is such an easy segue. Okay, let me just remind you of my friends at MetaShare. So the Noble family, just so you know, I'm not some guy out here just hawking stuff. 5 years ago, the Noble family got involved with MetaShare because God had sold our business, and all of a sudden I was writing a check for our health insurance out of our personal account. I had written it out of the business account, which was bigger than my personal account. And so all of a sudden I'm like, holy cow. And at the time, this was 5 years ago, it was $900 a month. It was going to go up to $1,300 or $1,400 a month. So now we're going, this is becoming unaffordable. So we started to invest in our own health, and then we started to look around, and that's when we found MetaShare. So since 1993, this is a Christian ministry. It is a not-for-profit organization, okay? Since 1993, over $1 billion have been shared in major medical expenses by Christians all across the country. Over a quarter of a million of them now. Plus, it gets you out of Obamacare's mandates on abortion, abortifacient, stuff like that. So now you're sharing your major medical expenses with Christians around the country. Go read the first three or four chapters of the book of Acts. And this is exactly what we're capable of doing when we kind of work together like this. So it really is an incredible way to do it, get you around. So my heart grieves about the health insurance conversation today because I care about my neighbors, not just because God tells me to, but because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I actually have been changed. I actually do care about my neighbors. And so I grieve over that, but that's not bugging me personally. because we're not involved in that world because of MediShare. So I want you to give them a call. Check it out for yourself. A great way to save money and a great way to invest in other Christians' lives and a great way to get around some of the garbage that is out there with things like Obamacare. 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number. 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. So please give them a call and check it out for yourself. 855-BIBLE-11. As we get to the back of the book, The Money Challenge, Art, we kind of dive into this area called generosity killers, and we talk about keeping up with the Joneses and what debt will do to you, disorganization and the need to have a budget. But something that's really on your heart that is something that has had such a destructive impact inside and outside of the church is financially separate marriages. What did you mean by that?
Well, we know that finances is consistently reported as one of the top reasons why married couples get a divorce, or financial stress is one of the reasons. When I say a financially separate marriage, what I mean is that you have his and her accounts. You have separate financial goals, separate credit cards. Separate, as I said, separate bank accounts. When I was a pastor at a church in West Palm Beach, I would go down and work with our premarital counseling groups. They would bring me in to talk about finances. And I would always recommend that couples, once married, bring their accounts together, have joint accounts. And every single time, I'm telling you, it was just shock that I would recommend something like that. The default today is to have separate accounts.
Right, right.
And so what can come from that is a lack of trust, a lack of transparency. Let me tell you this story. When I was in banking, I sat down with a married couple, and they were sitting across from me, sitting next to each other. And they had come in to try to get a mortgage. Well, unfortunately, I had to tell them that they were not approved for that mortgage. But then I said, "But let me help you walk toward being able to get approved for that." Their credit was very, very poor.
Yeah.
And so the first thing they did was I pulled up their credit report, and I said, "Let me start walking through these different debts. This credit card, this balance, this credit card. I hit a credit card and gave the balance, and I could tell that the husband was pretty uncomfortable with something that I said. The spouse or the wife immediately said, well, that's not ours. And my initial response was, great. Let me help you get this off your credit report. Well, the husband just kept getting more nervous. He actually started, he turned very red and actually started sweating a little bit. And, he eventually just stepped in and said, forget about it. And the wife, of course, said, no, let's figure out what we can do with it. Well, I could see something. I could see him.
Yeah.
She was not looking at him, but I could see him and see what was going on. And he once again reiterated pretty loudly, just forget about it. Let's move on. At that point, the wife turned to the husband, and she could see what I had been seeing the entire time, that something was wrong.
Wow.
And once she saw that, she turned and looked back at me. She said, Art, I'm sorry, but we need to leave. And they got up and walked out of the bank. Now, I don't know how their marriage ended. I have no idea if they're still together or not. I hope that they were able to work through it. But what I do know is that their marriage was in a much more rocky situation when they left the bank than when they had arrived. A financially separate marriage can be detrimental to generosity, but it can also be detrimental to the marriage. And so that concerns me.
Oh, man. Well, you know that the divorce statistics are bad anyway, but money is the number one leading cause of why families break up. We're talking to Art Rayner. The Money Challenge is the name of the book. And by the way, he's in the in the stream of generosity, Art's allowing us to give away a few more books, and we had a few callers drop off there. So we actually have five more that we can give away, but you got to get in by the clock, so you got about five more minutes to call. So pick up real quick. Give us a call at 866-348-7884. Odds are Howard will put you on hold as the other lines light up, and then he'll come right back to you. So please be patient, because we really want to send you a copy of the Money Challenge. 866-348-7884 is the phone number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, first five callers, we've got five more copies to give away. But be patient with Howard, because he's about to get flooded. So just be patient, and we'll get your information and send that off to you. And in terms of a financially separate marriage, if you have a financially unified marriage, that,
oh, man.
The whole generosity thing.
That's
like,
right.
What's it like for you guys at That's your right. house?
Well, so Sarah and I, my wife's name is Sarah, so Sarah and I, we're very much on the same page. Ironically, I would say that she's probably the more generous person out of the two. And
so, do you get to argue over your generosity?
We don't. We actually don't have that many financial arguments. Actually, that's one of the areas. I can't say that our marriage is perfect, but that's one of the areas that we seem to excel in
is
how we manage our finances together. And but when you get on the same page with your finances and where you want to give and how you want to give, that focus becomes incredibly, incredibly powerful. And you're able to accomplish more. And when I say accomplish more, help more people.
Yeah.
Because you're on the same page.
Yeah, you're putting your shoulders to the same plow.
That's right.
Which oftentimes some people, if they don't know me and they're going to come on the radio show, or if there's somebody I haven't met before, they're nervous because in media, you know, they're wondering where the gotcha questions coming from. And I always tell them, listen, you know, I occasionally have opposition guests on, but it's not that often because I kind of get sick of that. It's blood sport to me most of the time. And so I tell people, hey, just a reminder, we're putting our shoulders to the same plow.
That's right.
We're on the same team. We have the same goals in mind. And so now we're going to unite what God has done in both of our lives to push forward, not their agenda, not my agenda, but his agenda. Mm-hmm. And it's really an awesome thing and increases the love in that relationship.
That's right.
You put that in a marriage, and now you're using like nitroglycerin. It's pretty awesome.
Well, you're chasing God's design for you and your money together. That's gonna bring the marriage together.
Now, a couple of these other generosity killers, we'll just touch on these real quick. The infamous Jones family, keeping up with the Joneses. What's our deal with that?
Well, we live in a day and age where that's becoming more and more of a struggle than it used to be. Because historically, when we said keeping up with the Joneses, we just meant your neighbor to the left or to the right. Now
you got Facebook.
Now we have Facebook. Now we have Twitter. Now we have Instagram.
And Facebook convinces us all that our lives are the worst.
That's right. And it is the filtered version of everybody else, right?
That's the highlight reel.
They only show what they want you to see.
Oh, sure. It's a highlight reel.
And so we're watching the feed, and we see the vacations that they take, the houses that they live in, the money that they spend on decorating.
Their outfits.
And suddenly we find ourselves incredibly dissatisfied. And so keeping up with the Joneses is detrimental to anybody's finances because it's a never-ending chase.
Yeah.
There's always going to be somebody with more or better than you.
Yeah, there's Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, there's a guy in Mexico, there's a guy in Russia, and the rest of us, all losers.
That's right.
So embrace that. Get over that. Disorganization. I want to touch on this. We're going to run out of time, but disorganization and the need for the B word, the budget. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody hates that word. That's why I use the word disorganization. If you don't have a plan, if you don't have a goal, you can't expect to go anywhere.
Right.
It's if you're going to have your finances scattered everywhere, then it's going to be difficult to move forward in your savings, in your retirement, and absolutely in your generosity.
Yeah. So you got to have a plan. You have some of that in the book I mentioned earlier. And this we just got this for our family, my wife and I. Every Dollar, it's a great app.
It's a great app.
Dave Ramsey. And you can tie it to your bank account. And so now you're going to work through this app and you're going to tag every single dime that you spend to a budget category so you can track it. It's right in front of you. It's very convicting, but it's very, very helpful. You got to organize.
Yeah, it's a great app.
The Money Challenge, 30 Days of Discovering God's Design for You and Your Money by Art Rayner. Incredible book, incredibly helpful, full of grace, and just one of the best that I've ever read. Art Rayner, thanks for being on today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And go to the website. We've given all of those away. So great. We have three more people on hold, so be patient because Howard's going to talk to you. Go to the website and get a copy for yourself. TheMoneyChallengeBook.com. Make sure you share this podcast and this live Facebook broadcast today, too. Everybody needs help when it comes to this subject. God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon.